I want to talk about Christian duty, all right? When we hear the word duty, I think it's sometimes we think of it as almost equivalent to swearing. You know, it's a word that we don't use in our vocabulary very much. It's kind of a slap to our selfishness. When we define the word duty, it means a moral or legal obligation, a responsibility. And I think we look at it on the second definition. It says a task or action that someone is required to perform. And so I think it's our nature. We don't like to be told what to do, right? And so we use the word responsibility. When we use the word responsibility as Christians, how many know we have responsibility? That's kind of a soft way of saying duty, all right? We don't hear the word duty. We don't use it very often. We hear it in the military, correct? It's my duty. I'm going to serve like a nation. If you came up through the scouting program, that's one of the, it's in our pledge that we will do duty to our God and our country. And so we don't hear it very often outside of those contexts these days. And so, as I said, a lot of times we don't like people telling us what to do, right? We don't. But how many know, as Christians, we do have a duty? And we've heard some testimonials here today. How many know it is our duty to take care of widows and orphans? It is our responsibility. Here today, we heard testimonies of our youth. How many know it is our duty to disciple our young people? And we also heard about missions. How many know it is our duty to fulfill the Great Commission? We don't like to use those words, but that's what it is. It is our duty. So we don't label them as duties usually, all right? We say it's our responsibility. We're to participate in these things, but it is our duty. And that's what I'm going to emphasize here today. We as Christians have a duty. Jesus told this parable in Luke chapter 17. He says, suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after his sheep. Will he say to that servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down and eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that you may eat and drink? Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So also when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. That's some strong words. Folks, how many of us want a pat on the back? How many of us want the thank you? How many of us want the recognition when God says, you know, this is your duty. This is what you're supposed to be doing. Most of us don't need a pat on the back. We need a kick in the pants. Hallelujah. Sometimes we do something just because it is the right thing to do. How many know that? It's the right thing to do. That's why we do it. Not every thing we do should benefit us. I had a saying as I met Karen and began to work with her in children's ministry when we were in Bible college. She would ask me to do something, and today I've carried on through our marriage. She'll ask me to do something that takes a little bit of extra effort, and my response is, what's my reward? If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. What is my reward? What's in it for me? How many know there is something in the Bible called the golden rule? Do unto others what? Right? And how many know we want people to do good things for us? And how many know in return that we are to reciprocate that? We are to do that for other people. So every generation discovers the book In His Steps. How many are familiar with In His Steps by Charles Sheldon? Most of you would know it. We went through the trend, about 10 years ago? WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? All right? Every generation seems to kind of pick up that book and kind of run with it for a little bit. But the emphasis in that saying is the word do. What would Jesus do? All right? And if you've ever read the book, probably a lot of people haven't, even though they wore the band, where they wore the slogan. They never read the book, But if you would read the book, you would see that the people in this story discovered that following Jesus entailed not just a creed, but fulfilling a duty. They were given a responsibility. They felt like because they've come in contact, they've met Jesus Christ, that they were required to do something in response. And as I was preparing the sermons, I was looking through some things, and I came across a handout from a workshop I took years ago. And the workshop was presented by Anthony Torres. He's from the area of Alamogordo, New Mexico, and he's the pastor of Mountain View Church. And his church is very outward focused. And he wrote in this handout, he wrote, "Don't just be seasonal in outreach, be intentional." What's he mean by that? He goes on and says, "Outreach is common during the Thanksgiving and Christmas season, but people are still hurting and hungry in January." As believers, that's what we kind of do. We kind of have our seasons where we kind of get a little spiritual and we kind of get a little bit more serving and more giving. And the truth is, 12 months out of the year, people are hurting. People need Jesus. People need help. And so it's not just seasonal. It is something that he is requiring. It has to be intentional on our behalf. The point in ministering to the widows, discipling our youth, and fulfilling the Great Commission is our Christian duty. It is something that we're supposed to do every day. Not just seasonal, just not once a year when we have a banquet. It's every day. This is our Christian duty. And the truth is, Christian duty is spontaneous. For those who are following Jesus Christ. If you are following and walking with Jesus, you will find out and you will realize that because Christ lives in you and his love dwells within you, that you are a compassionate individual, you're going to automatically begin to just be nice to people. You're going to smile. You're going to say hello. And when you come across people that have need, there's going to be something inside of you that says, "Can I do something? Can I meet that need?" It's a natural outflow of our relationship with Christ. When we look at things from the point of do's and don'ts, we shouldn't have to tell you, you need to do this, we need to take care of the youth, we need to disciple our youth. We know that. But when we look at it from the point of do's and don'ts, serving others becomes irritating and inconvenient. Jesus is watching. He is always watching. And I don't know if you've ever read the book of Revelation, but he's taking notes. It says when we stand before him, he is going to open the books. Not book to see if your name's in it, but the books. God is writing a book about your life. He is recording your life. That's kind of scary, isn't it? But he's watching. He's taking notes. And so my text today is Matthew chapter 25. You know the story as the story of the sheep and goats. And so I'm just going to abbreviate. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm just going to point out some things that take place in this story for us here this morning. And because we were doing these testimonies, it's like, Lord, what could I preach about? What could I do to encourage? And so this is what kind of popped in my brain. So Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." And so, as we go on, he's going to define what that means, what are sheep and what are goats. But what I want you to see here is the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? It is Jesus Christ. He is going to be on the throne. And he is coming with all of his angels. How many know that the angels are Jesus' helpers? Amen? And in Matthew 13, in another parable, we see this. It says, he answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and who's going to be there? The harvesters are who? The angels. So they're going to have a part on this judgment day. They're going to go through the crowd and say, well, you need to go on the right. You need to go on the left. You need to go on the right. You need to go on the left. So Jesus uses this in a couple different parables that the angels have a part in the last days. We have another story where there was weeds that were sown into the wheat field. And they come to him and say, the servants come and say, hey, should we pull them out? And he says, no. Leave them grow together. And when they're old, what? The angels are going to come what? They'll separate them out. So think about it here. This is such an incredible scene here that we're watching. Jesus in all his glory, he sits down on the throne, a glorious throne. And his angels are doing his bidding. They are separating the sheep from the goats. Wow. If you don't know what the throne room looks like, you can read it in Exodus where Jesus took the 70 elders up on the mountain and the presence of God came. You can read the book of Revelation, and you can see what the throne room is going to be like. Incredible stuff. Just picture it. The Son of Man, Jesus, he is going to be the judge. He's the judge. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked for me, after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you, a stranger, and invite you in, needing clothes, and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. I just want you to notice two things out of that scripture. Number one, the righteous were surprised. They were surprised at Jesus' words. He said, when you did these, he said, I was watching. And they're like, when? When did we see you? When did we do this to you? When did we do this for you? There was a genuine surprise. The righteous were doing what naturally came to them. They were giving food to those that needed it. They were giving clothing to those who needed it. They were visiting those who were sick. They were going to the prison. They were already doing it. Because we also know that the scripture says that we love because he first loved us. The King James says we love him. But in the Greek it says we love because he first loved us. Because it's his love in us. It is the fruit of his spirit in our life when we love other people. So we see that these individuals are surprised. When did we see you in this light? The righteous did it naturally. They helped other people. Why? Because it was their Christian duty. Right? It was just something they did because it came naturally to them. Because this is what Jesus did for me. I'm going to do it for somebody else. It never entered their minds not to help others. It just seemed weird to them. You did it to them, you did it to me. So when we're out there helping individuals, we're doing it as unto the Lord. Doesn't the Bible say when we work as unto the Lord and not unto men? So the first thing we see is the righteous were surprised at Jesus' words. Secondly, the kingdom is the inheritance of the righteous. An inheritance, folks, is not something you earn. It is something that is given to you. So these individuals didn't earn their way into heaven. They didn't work their way into heaven. It was a gift. Because we are associated with Jesus Christ, because he is our Lord and Savior, we have been given an inheritance. And it is the kingdom of God. Not because we're good people. Not because we're nice to one another. The motivation for service is not in the seeking of a reward. So if you are waiting for someone to motivate you because there is a reward, it's not going to come from us. We may acknowledge you. We acknowledge somebody today. We appreciate their service. We gave them a little. But that means nothing compared to what Jesus can do for an individual. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that our motivation is what? Love. It is a love chapter. You can even go to the point of giving your life. But without love, it means absolutely nothing. So, if we go on to read the rest of the story, the unrighteous, or the goats, did not look after the needs of the others. Keith Green had he did a song years and years ago. It's a very long song where he did this song, The Sheep and the Goats. And in that song, he says, at the very end of that song, he says, the only difference between the sheep and the goats is what they did and didn't do. So I don't know how to take that here this morning. Because if we say it's the church, that puts us on some pretty shaky ground. Because we think we're going to heaven, but in this story, Jesus is telling the story, and he's the king, he's the one who's judging. He says, I'm going to separate you. And the sheep are the ones who do what I want, and the goats are those who aren't doing anything. So if we're in the church, it's kind of scary, isn't it? I'll just move on from that point. Just food for thought. Because when we stand before him, we're not going to be judged for our sins. We're going to be judged for what? Our works. What we did. James says what? Faith without works is dead. So James is almost saying the same thing we're reading here in this story. So the story goes on. Remember, that was the sheep. Now we're looking at the goats. Verse 45, 46. He will reply, truly I tell you. Remember, they heard the same thing. Jesus, in this, the king says the same thing that he said to the sheep. He's saying the same thing to the goats. Okay? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then you will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So again, I want you to notice two things. Secondly, this is not a surprise. How many know that you can only be surprised once? So the first group was surprised. So the second group is watching this because Jesus is saying, yeah, you know, you didn't do this for anybody else. So he's telling them here that it's no longer a surprise, but it's an excuse. Lord, when did we see you? Right? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you naked? You see, it was a little bit of self-justification. The first group was surprised because they were doing it without even knowing it. But this group hadn't been doing it, and so they're looking, how are we going to get out from under this one? And they kind of use it as an excuse, a self-justification. And Jesus said, when you didn't do it for them, you didn't do it for me. That's pretty brutal. So that's the first thing. The second thing is everyone receives an inheritance. Everyone. Whether you're a sheep or goat, you inherit something. And so we look at this scripture. We determine by our compassion or lack of our compassion what our inheritance will be. And we read that in verse 46. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Hallelujah. And there's a lot of shouts of hallelujah here this morning. Amen. 1 John 4:20. How many know we love Jesus when we love others, right? John writes this, he says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. And so we get hung up on that word hate because in our minds we know what hate is when you hate somebody. You can't stand somebody. But this word means preference, okay? So basically Jesus is, in the scripture, God is putting himself in relationship to our brothers and sisters. Whoever claims to love God yet hates or prefer, you know, hates a brother and sister is a liar. So we have a scripture that says that God hated Esau, but he loved Jacob. You've read that, right? It's in their scripture multiple times. Did he really hate Esau? No. He preferred Jacob because Jacob what? Obeyed. Jacob did what he was supposed to do. And so keep that in mind as we're reading this scripture. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. How many people are running around today saying, I love God, I love God, I love God, but won't give their brother or sister a time of day? Shame on us. Shame on us. Christian duty is giving the gift of yourself to others. That's what Christian duty is. It's giving the gift of yourself to others. So let me just read a couple scriptures here in Proverbs, just to kind of align some things here and kind of keep what I'm saying here in mind here today. Proverbs 18:16 says, giving a gift can open doors. It gives access to important people. How many want access to Jesus? Right? Give yourself away. Fulfill your Christian duty. Proverbs 19:6 says, many seek favors from a ruler. Everyone is a friend of a person who gives gifts. I don't know about you, but I want to win the heart of my ruler, my king, my Jesus. And let me just add as we close with this scripture here today. Paul is standing before the Sanhedrin. He has gone back to Jerusalem. He's been arrested. And this is before he's about ready to go to Rome. And he's standing before the Sanhedrin, which is the Sadducees, the Pharisees, teachers of the law, those guys, okay? The Jewish government. And Paul looks at them. He says, Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, my brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day. I have fulfilled my duty. I hope when we stand before him one day, we can truthfully say, as Paul said, Lord, I did my duty. I did what you wanted. I'm living out the responsibility that you have laid upon me. As we wrap up here today, loving others is loving Jesus. How else are we going to express it? You can come in here and raise your hand and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And be nasty to your coworker. That's called hypocrisy. If you can't love the guy at work, how are you going to love a guy you can't see? That's scriptural. I quoted that. We heard it today. Testimonials. Kudos to those that are doing what they're supposed to be doing, ministering to those that we talked about today. They testified today. In my life, I've stood before some earthly judges more than once for various things. And the truth was, it was my fault. I'll confess. One I confessed to, the other I denied. But I was guilty in both cases. But Never was I so exhilarated standing before a judge than when we heard them say about our daughters, these girls are yours. What a day. The things we went through, the money we forked out, the pressure we were under, waiting to see if it would go through or not go through, or if a family member would stand up and say, we want them, or whatever. We prayed. And we had to find ourselves some promises to hang on to for our sanity, to trust God in those moments. So what a day that will be when we hear God say, do you remember when? Hopefully that we will be on that right side. We will be on the sheep side, right? Do you remember when you did this for me? Do you remember when you helped so-and-so? Do you remember how you maybe did this or paid for this or helped them in this area? Or maybe do you remember when that person did you wrong and you forgave them? Do you remember when you sacrificed and did without so that they could have? That's going to be exhilarating. That's going to be incredible. To stand before him and him acknowledge, opens the book and says, hey, I saw you. I saw you do this. I saw you do that. And he recorded it in his books. Why? Because it's our Christian duty. We shouldn't go up there and have maybe a couple lines. We should have page after page after page after page. If we've been serving God for, I've been serving God for over 3 decades. There should be pages. Not just a couple lines at the top of the first page of the good things that I did for the Lord. For how I helped people. How I had loved Jesus by loving people. What a day. What a day. Hallelujah. When we hear God say, do you remember when? Because he's going to say, I remember. I remember. Just like we're to remember what he did for us, he's going to remember what you have done for him. Isn't that exciting? So if we only have a couple lines, we got some homework to do. Amen. We need to open up our eyes. We need to open up our ears. We need to open up our hands. We need to open up our heart. Because all around us are people that need to experience the love of Jesus. Sometimes it's just words of affirmation, words of sharing a testimony. But a lot of times it's just maybe in a hug, opening the wallet, rolling up your sleeves, and working for him. Father, we pray today. God, this is you telling the story here. And there's going to be a day of reckoning for all of us, not because of the sin. If we're walking with you and we're right in relationship with you, it says the sins that we have are cast as far as the east is from the west. It says our sins are dumped into the deepest sea with a sign that says no fishing. But Lord, what it does say is that we will give an account for our words. It will give us an account for what we do. And I pray, Father, if the don'ts are bigger than the do's, I pray that we will kind of put some other stuff on the scale to make it go the other way. I pray today, Father, that we would recognize that we have a Christian duty to not only those in the church, it says brothers and sisters, you've done it unto me, but Lord, it doesn't matter who. As human beings on this earth, living together with other people, They are our brothers and sisters. We are called to be a neighbor. We are called to be good Samaritans. We are called to have compassion. We are called to live out 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I pray, Father, today, you forgive us for all the times we messed up. We missed those opportunities, those days when we were hard-hearted, when we were greedy, when we were selfish, and we were looking at ourselves. I pray today, Lord, starting this morning, that we could have a fresh outlook, a fresh start here this morning, and say, Lord, I want to have eyes to see what you're seeing. I want to have ears to hear what you're hearing. And Father, I want to have a heart, Lord, that responds like you responded. Father, we just come to you today and we pray for that compassion. That Father, we recognize this morning that we have a Christian duty to our fellow man. Lord, we want to fill up that sheet. We want to fill up that sheep, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, today we just make a proclamation. Lord, we want to be your sheep. Hallelujah. And you know how stubborn sheep are, Lord. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. Help us to follow you. Help us to follow in your footsteps. Help us to be good representatives of you so that the world may see that we were disciples because of our love for one another. We love you, Jesus. I just pray a blessing over this day of fellowship as we gather together. We pray that we'll just have a great time of just conversing, eating together, and just reveling in the fact that we have a Heavenly Father, the same Heavenly Father. And the same Savior, the same Lord. I pray you'll keep us safe as we do activities today. I pray a blessing ahead of time on the food that we're about to eat. I pray, Father, that we'll just enjoy one another today and just kind of catch up today with one another and just enjoy your presence among your people. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we do have some